Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. I'm Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to thank you for joining me today. And for those of you that may not know, November is Diabetes Awareness Month. And those of you that may not know, diabetes is near and dear to my heart. I've been a diabetes educator for over 25 years. Always have loved teaching people about diabetes. But on today's show, I have two other guests. I have Amory Krutchik. Oh, my goodness. See, I knew I was going to tongue-tie that again. Amory.
I know. It's okay.
And Amory is one of our registered dietitians, and she's also a certified diabetes care and education specialist at Way Memorial Hospital. I'm so proud of you, Amory,
because you
came to us when you were an intern.
I did everything. I was a volunteer.
Right.
Then I did my internship here, and now I'm working here, so I've hit all three boxes.
I know. I'm so excited that now you're a certified diabetes care education specialist.
Yeah.
And then my second guest is Alicia Reichard.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. And you are a Marywood intern, nutrition intern from Marywood University, right?
Yep.
So welcome.
Thank you.
And you were in my shoes at one time, years and years ago, in Amory's. So we know what you're going through, and soon to be an RD. So yes, join our crowd.
I'll be graduating in May.
So. Oh, woo-hoo! How exciting, right? Very exciting. So, you know, again, November is Diabetes Awareness Month. So, you know, I asked Amory and Alicia on the show, you know, to talk a little bit about diabetes, to talk a little bit about, you know, we have our holidays right around the corner and what we want to eat. So, you know, Amory, can you explain to our listeners today, what is diabetes?
Okay. So when you eat and drink certain things, so these carbohydrate-containing foods, things like your sodas, those sugary beverages, any pastas, breads, rice, cereals, fruits, milk, all of these different foods, they contain carbohydrates. And when your body breaks those down, they turn to sugar, because that's what the carbohydrates do. So that goes into the blood, that raises your blood sugar, the glucose that we call it. What the job of your pancreas then, when that blood sugar starts getting too high, the pancreas will release a hormone called insulin, which will bring those numbers down to the target ranges where they should be. And a person who has diabetes, though, sometimes the pancreas may not release enough insulin, if any at all, or it is releasing that insulin, but the body's not recognizing it.
Mm-hmm. And so in that case, it you know, if that insulin doesn't work, that's leading to a high blood sugar or high blood glucose,
exactly.
Right?
Which
is technically what diabetes is.
It is,
right?
Yes.
So when we look at, like, diabetes, you know, there are different types, correct?
Yes, there are. Yes.
So can you explain a little difference? I mean, like, we have type 1, type 2, we have gestational diabetes as well, right?
Oh, yes.
So what's the difference?
So in type 1 diabetes, your pancreas may not be releasing enough insulin, if any at all. So people who have type 1 diabetes, which turns out to be nearly 1.9 million people, have this condition. You have to kind of help your pancreas out. So you have to give yourself insulin to help that process along. And type 2 diabetes, you may not be recognizing the insulin that your body is producing. So you may have to give there's other medications you can take to help your body with that. And you also may need to give yourself insulin if needed.
Right, later
there's
on.
There's other things we can do to try to stop that process. And then gestational diabetes happens during pregnancies. Those later weeks of pregnancy, those blood sugars may be, you know, a little bit more elevated just because of all the hormones and everything with pregnancy. So that's a condition called gestational where you may require insulin. We can teach you about healthy eating just to get you on track with that. But after you have the baby, that goes away.
Right.
The thing with gestational is if you have that, later on, you are more likely to develop type 2 diabetes.
Right. That's what I've read that before. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, individuals that have gestational diabetes, they sometimes have a 60% chance of developing type 2, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, there are guidelines to recommend testing after someone, if someone has gestational diabetes, right, to keep an eye on that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Which is really important. And then so that's, you know, kind of my next question is, how does someone know if they have diabetes? Is there testing that can be done?
Yes. So it's tested through the blood work. They would do something called a fasting level. They would check that fasting glucose. So depending on what that level is, there's either no diabetes, you may have a condition called prediabetes, or if it's high enough, they could diagnose you with type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
With that. They also do something called an A1C. It's a 3-month average of how your blood sugar has been running. And the same kind of thing. It's a percentage. So based on that percentage, it could mean you're within the, you know, somebody who doesn't, the range of somebody who does not have diabetes, a pre-diabetes range, mm-hmm. or also that type 2 diabetes.
Right. So, and I have to chuckle a little bit because, again, I've been doing this diabetes certificate for many, many mm-hmm. years. And pre-diabetes is a relatively new term,
yes.
right?
Yes.
They used to say borderline
yes.
or, I always love the term, a touch of sugar.
I know, right?
It's like, okay, what are we going to put a little
tells you they have the sugar. It's like, well, you know, I do too in my coffee, but it's okay.
Right,
you know?
Right. But in all seriousness, when someone yes. is told they have pre-diabetes,
yes.
that's a time where they can really make those dietary changes, correct?
It is. It's basically like the warning light going off that, hey, something is happening. You know, it's not a diagnosis of diabetes, but it's a time to say, let me reevaluate what I'm doing right now. And what am I eating? Am I eating enough? Am I eating too much? Am I exercising? How about smoking? Smoking is one of the big risk factors for many things. So stopping smoking mm-hmm. helps with a lot mm-hmm. of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a time to look and say, let me reevaluate. Let me get on a healthy lifestyle track to get away from the diabetes before
right.
I need all these, you know, other things.
Exactly. And there are, like, you know, they're always changing the guidelines. They're always
yes.
changing the screening factors
yes.
and stuff like that.
Yes.
So can you, like, review some of them?
Sure.
Like, if someone's listening and they're like, oh, I'm not going to get diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are risk factors, correct?
Yes. So now the screening used to be they would do these blood tests, the fasting glucose and the A1C, starting at 45 years of age. They've now dropped it to 35.
Mm.
So anybody 35 and above, you will get screened every year
mm-hmm.
for these. And also if you have certain risk factors, if you are in the overweight or the obese category, you have a family history of diabetes, you have a parent, a sibling who has diabetes, that puts you in a higher risk. You have cardiac issues, maybe you have that high blood pressure, you have cholesterol issues. Those are also things that are at risk. If you're not active, you know, a lot of people have, you know, kind of a sedentary lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're somebody who's not exercising, that is also a risk factor. If you've had that gestational diabetes or you've been diagnosed with that pre-diabetes, those are all risk factors. We're definitely going to keep an eye on you just to see where you're at.
Right, right. I noticed one of the guidelines that you have here listed is women with PCOS.
PCOS, yes. Yes.
So polycystic ovary mm-hmm. syndrome, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's something definitely, that's also a risk factor.
Right.
So if you've been diagnosed with PCOS,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we're definitely watching what you're eating and watching those blood sugars.
But this is something that if someone sees their physician regularly,
yes.
starting at a very young, like, you know,
yes.
you know, as parents, you take your
mm-hmm.
children to the doctors, but, you know, sometimes they go through the teen years and the young adult ages, they kind of fall up, but going for a regular physical every year is one way to kind of keep a track of this, right?
Yes, yes. It's very important. So you can catch these things because, you know, some of these you might not notice symptoms. You may not have symptoms, but then when they do the blood work, oh, hey, this is getting kind of high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you felt fine. So you didn't go to the doctor because you were perfectly fine. But
right.
that yearly visit is so important to nail down some of these things
mm-hmm.
and check those.
Are there any outward symptoms that people may notice that may be a sign of diabetes?
If you notice that you're, like, super thirsty, like you cannot get enough to drink, even though you've been, you know, down in that water bottle and you're still thirsty, you know, that's a sign, that excessive thirst. And then the opposite happens. You downed all that water. Now it has to come out at some time. So now you're constantly, you know, you're getting your steps in, definitely going to the bathroom all the
mm-hmm.
time. That's a sign. Unexplained weight loss. You weren't trying to lose weight. You've
mm-hmm.
been eating like you normally do, but the weight's fallen off you for no apparent reason. Like
mm-hmm.
those are big signs of, hey, there may be some
right.
underlying condition.
Right, right. And so definitely go see your primary
yes.
or go see a physician no matter, you know.
No matter what.
Yep, exactly,
yes.
exactly. So, you know, and again, it's so important to control blood sugars, correct?
Yes. Just yes.
target ranges that
mm-hmm.
are recommended by the doctors. But what happens if the blood sugar is too high?
So when the blood sugar is too high, especially over a long period of time, like you've been having these frequent high blood sugars, it starts affecting just about every process in the body. the eyes start going, like you start getting glaucoma, you start getting these, you know, these infections or different things, changes in the vision.
Right.
It'll start affecting the kidneys. So mm-hmm. they can't process that blood sugar as effectively, because that takes a lot of work, especially if there's a lot of blood sugar, to get that out of there.
Right.
You have a wound or you get sick, it takes you longer to heal. If you do get something like the flu or even with COVID, when we were talking about that a lot, you're more likely to be more severe in
right.
those type of
right.
things.
Yes. It just adds on to any condition that you
yes.
may have, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Amory, you covered a lot. So, I mean, I think the information you provided was a great overview of diabetes. And now, Alicia, we're going to come to you.
Okay.
And so Alicia's going to talk about, you know, our holidays. We have Thanksgiving right around the corner.
Yes.
Okay, and then we have December, which is many, many different holidays that many people celebrate. So what are some recommendations that you can give anyone listening, but especially people with diabetes?
Mm-hmm. So first thing is that you want to change your mindset going into the meal. You want to make the focus, you know, about spending that time with your family, with your friends, plan some fun activities while you're there, you know, bring music, games, go through photo albums, reminisce, you know, on times past. 1 year, my aunt did a scavenger hunt for the entire family. So, you know, we have that memory going forward. If you do bring a food item, you want to make sure if you do have diabetes that it's diabetes friendly. So, you know, you're covered.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to eat something there. You're not going to have to worry about your blood sugar or anything like that. If you're baking something, you know, you can substitute that sugar with Splenda or Stevia. And then, you know, like your dessert is covered as well.
Right. Exactly. What about like, you know, portion sizes? Do you have any recommendations for, because sometimes there's buffets, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what kind of recommendations do you have for that?
So you want to remember your plate method and your portion sizes. So a starch portion is the size of your cupped hand. That's about a half a cup. So that's going to count as one carbohydrate. Your protein, you want to make sure that you are doing 3 to 4 ounces, and that's about the size of your palm. Now with like cranberry sauces, that's about 2 tablespoons. That's also going to equal one carb choice. But, you know, going in, remember your plate method. So you want to make half of your plate vegetables, 1/4 of starch, which would be like the mashed potatoes, your stuffing, your dinner rolls, and then the other 1/4 is going to be your protein.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing new. It's everything that you do every other day. So just that, you know, eat your regular meals throughout the day. Don't skip anything so you have room for a larger meal. That's not true.
Right.
And then remember, like, when you start to feel full, just stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
You get to take those leftovers home. You get to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner, you know, more than one time. And who wouldn't like that?
Right, right. I have to say, when I go to families for dinner and stuff like that, I kind of bring my own to-go containers. Because they're always,
yeah.
like, they're always like, you know, take food home. And
yeah.
so you know that they're going to give you food.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. although you don't want to sit down and have everything at once, you
right.
can take some home and have it either later on if you're having it at lunchtime or the next
mm-hmm.
day, right?
Right.
Desserts and beverages. What kind of recommendations do you have for those?
So desserts, like I had mentioned before, like if you can make your own, so you know you're covered, that's perfect. If you can't, you know, try, you know, having a smaller portion, share with a family member, split a piece of pie. Beverages, you want to watch those because there's sugars hidden everywhere. So if you can, substitute a regular soda for like a diet or a seltzer. With your mixed drinks, you want to make sure that you're also eating with them. A lot of alcohol will affect the blood sugar. So if you have that protein in there, it's going to help like stabilize it a little bit.
Right. And again, you know, there are recommendations, right, for how many drinks people should have,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, again, whenever there's a question, I have to mention that we have services here at Way Memorial
yes,
Hospital, correct?
Yes.
And who can they call if they have a question regarding nutrition?
So you can call our dietitian's office. We are at 570-253-8164.
Okay. And they can leave a message if you're not there,
yes.
right? And
yes.
Things like that. You know, I can't believe how quickly 15 minutes goes by.
Oh, yes.
And
I know.
How much information we cover, correct?
Yeah.
So, Amory and Alicia, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
As always, again, this is Carol Kanier, Wayne Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to thank you for listening. And please visit our website at WMH.org for more information, for information on nutrition services here at Wayne Memorial Hospital. So again, thank you for listening and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.